Okay, let's get into our discussion of Parshas Chayesara. Parshas Chayesara, Tavshin Pei Hei. Again, scheduling note, I hope Bezrat Hashem to try to give a shiur next week. A little busy week, but I hope Bezrat Hashem to be able to give a shiur for Toldos. But let's get into Chayesara, and we start off with the first Rashi. The first Rashi, much discussed, and we'll see the words of Mefarshim on the Rashi. Vayuchai Yisara, so Sarah lived, Mea Shana Ve'esrim Shana Ve'sheva Shanim, 127, or to be more exact, 100 years, and 20 years, and 7 years. Shnei Chayei Sarah. And of course, Rashi quotes the Medrash, which is bothered by that extra Lashon. Why don't you just say she lived 127? Why do you have to say she lived 100 years, 20 years, and 7 years? So we're comparing each of those stages. Each of the stages of 120 and 7. Says the Rashi, Lakach nechtav shana b'chol kal v'klal. This is why it says shana by each. Lomar lecha, shekol echad nidrash la'atzmo. Every one of these phrases should be examined and studied by itself. Bas kuf kabas chaf lechet. 100 compared to 20. At 100 years old, she was like 20 chet. Right? Up till 20, there's no punishment b'dei shamayim. And at 100, she was at the same stage. 80 years later, no chet. 80 years later. No chet. Does that mean she was perfect? Chazal don't say that she's one of the four people that never sinned. The Ramban says on last week's parsha that she was chata chet gadol with Hagar. Oh, but she was fulfilled all of her potential. She was at an amazing level at 100 as if she was 20. Ma bas chaf lo chata shahare eina bas onshin af bas kuf lo chata u bas chav kabas zayin liyofi. And 20 like 7 for beauty. There's a different girsa in the Medrash. 7 like 20, because you would think that a 20-year-old might be more beautiful than a 7-year-old, but the different ideas. Says, this. First we'll look at the Siman Labanim of Kashtiel in source number 1, and we'll see a connected thought from Rav Soloveitchik. So first Rav Kashtiel, both of the ideas of the first sources tell us that youth is not something that we should just forget about and reject and say, I'm beyond that. Now I'm older, now I'm an adult, I don't have to remember or act at all like a child anymore. No. There's something about youth. There are certain midos of youth and our childhood that we should take with us. And maybe Sarah had some of that with her too. When she was 127 or 100, she still had elements of 7. Says the right Rav Kashtiel in the first paragraph, quotes the other Medrash, Zayin Paschuf. Good. So let's continue. Al af shesara ba'a bayamim hi mishameres tchuna shel tmimus. Right, she's still tamim. Right, below chait, she's tamim. She is complete, she is whole. Tam is the opposite of balmum. But there's another element of tmimus, as we know, of a child. What is that? Continuing his piece, Dugma, skip to line 20. Dugma l'tom hanishar b'chayi adam bogir nitan l'roz b'dmuso shel eved. Sarah had it, but Eliezer later in the parsha, he had a certain type of childhood tamimus. What's tamimus? We might call it emunah pshuta. We might call it not a negative naivete, but a simplicity. HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, and I'm going to have bitachon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he'll help me out. And that's it. And there's a simpleness. Like, sometimes you'll explain to a child something, and Hashem said, okay, fine. And it's accepted. There's not the intellectual cynicism that sometimes comes as we get older. The, like, you're right, or negative, or lack of belief. A child has a certain wholeness. So Eliezer had that. Eliezer goes, and what does he say? Right, Hashem, and Hashem, please help me out. And he knows Hashem's going to help him. Boteach bo sheyatzliach shlichuso. Vayikod ha'ish veishtachol l'Hashem. Nachani Hashem bebeis achi Adoni. Im yeshchem matzliat darki. Emuna vado shekezu. It's clarity of emuna. Einena benuya. Alochachos intuelectiotes. El al tamimus briavativis. It's a natural and healthy belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, recognizing that he is in charge. Mineged, skipping lines, zilzul v'lag tzini l'machshavos hayaldutios. Sometimes one might look at a child and say, you believe that? And the child, you know, we like look at jokingly at the child, oh, they'll get older and they'll lose it and they'll become a realist. No. Sometimes it's good not to be a realist. It's good to be a dreamer. It's good to be someone who could see beyond. And that's what he quotes from Rav Kook. Kalis makros tivis la'ezit dialmer omeim. Any type of striving to an ideal, even if it's beyond the logical, that comes from our youth. We don't have to understand everything. And that's what we have to recognize. Right? And we recognize our future, he says in the continuation, we're not going to read everything. Our future is focused on our children. Turn the page. And if we take away that from the children in front of us, and even from the child inside of us, you know, that could be, you know, we get stuck in our ways, and we get into a place where we can't go out of. If you saw Salanta, we've mentioned this thought in the past. He says that Yeshua ben Nun in Parshas Kisisa is called a Na'ar. Yeshua ben Nun Na'ar lo yamish bitocha ohel. He's a Na'ar, he's a lad. Right, when Moshe Rabbeinu was waiting for Moshe Rabbeinu to come down, after Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Sinai and he put his tent outside, how old was Yeshua ben Nun at this stage? Na'ar. So if you do the math, right, Yeshua ben Nun was 110 when he died. Right, 14 years in the land of Israel, Shevesh HaKibshu v'Shevesh HaChilku, 7 years of splitting up, of fighting the kings, and 7 years of fighting. So go back, he's 96 when he went into Israel, when he went into Eretz Yisrael. 40 years in the desert, 56. So when the Torah calls him a Na'ar, he's 56 years old. And even if, you know, 56 is the new 46, right, or 36, but still the Torah is ultimate truth, eternal truth. He's a Na'ar, and says of Yisrael Salanter, yes, because Na'ar is an attitude. Na'ar is not an age. An attitude of looking ahead and dreaming and having that childish excitement. That's not, that was Yeshua ben Nun. He always had it. And that's what we have to recognize. And Sari Imenu had it. Sari had this always new programs and new stages and looking ahead. And he quotes here that Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya, one of the great Tanoim, was always interested and focused on youths. Because that's what he lived by. And it was told about him, Ashre Yoladito. He said about Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya, because he saw in him that youthful attitude, and he blesses the ones that gave birth to him, because that connects to his youth. Because not everything about youth is immature and childish. Sometimes it's good to be a little bit childish as well. Says Rev Salvechik, a similar idea. Turn the page. Says Rev Salvechik in the Masoras Harav. Shnei Chaye Sarah refers to the lives of Sarah. She was always a 100-year-old adult. A 20-year-old woman and a 7-year-old child. At the same time, she was an 100-year-old adult, a 20-year-old woman and a 7-year-old child. All at the same time. That's the message. In the realm of chemical processes, there is no way to retain biological youth in a middle-aged person. No matter how many medicines we try to take, maybe we could make our hair look youthful, but our bodies are not going to, you know, be that. Our bodies are our bodies, and our bodies get older. Nor can the pattern of the middle age be preserved in old age. In the realm of the unfolding of the spirit, however, when it comes to Ruchnius, it's possible to see youth and ripe old age, or even childhood and youth, as simultaneous experiences. Old and young. The advanced in years quite often display spiritual restlessness and intensity. And the young are sometimes characterized by cautious wisdom and sober judgment. Sometimes one could have a precocious child, and the child displays wisdom well beyond their years. But sometimes we could see an older person who is so excited and with a youthful countenance, and that attitude of, you know, like a child, always planning the next and dreaming for the next program. That's what we have to take. Sarah had it all wrapped together. 120 and 7. An older person may be wonderfully childlike, with a dreamer's naivete and excitement. The idealism of youth quite often shines through the eyes of the gray beard. In fact, great people are sometimes great children. They are rich and multi-talented, v'chulu. And he quotes Peter Pan. I never saw Rav Soloveitchik quote Peter Pan. Right? It was a boy who refused to grow up and assume responsibility. In contrast, maybe, sorry, Meinu, she might not grow up in one sense, but she assumes responsibility. Right? It's not that, oh, I don't have to worry about anything. Sarah at 20 was mature and fully developed both intellectually and emotionally. She was energetic, bold, and daring. Right? The adult in Sarah did not destroy the child. Right? There was both. There was both in there. And then he continues, right? I didn't give it to you, but there's a wonderful piece, one of my favorite, in Rav Soloveitchik, where he describes, I think it's called The Experience of a Rosh Yeshiva. It's in the second volume of Reflections of the Rav. The Experience of Rosh Yeshiva, where he talks about how the Rosh Yeshiva, he's talking in third person, describing himself. But he talks about the Rosh Yeshiva comes in, and it's more about Mesorah and Talmud Torah, but it complements this idea of his. That the old man comes in, and he can barely walk, and he looks around, and he sees the youthful faces of his students, who could be his grandchildren. He doesn't know what's going to happen in this in the shiur, but he starts. And as he starts the shiur, the door opens. And who walks in? Somebody very old, the Rambam. And then, who walks in? The Rashba. And he describes how he really feels. And then, Rabbeinu Tam, and the Ravid, and all of these Gdolei HaMesorah are bidden to take their seats. And all of a sudden, the Rebbe reads something, and then the Rambam comments. The Ravid screams out. One of the Talmidim say, no, I can defend the Rambam. And he talks about this symphony of Torah spanning generations. And he said at the end of the shiur, the Talmidim, because Rav Soloveitchik gave shiur for 2 to 4 hours, right? The Talmidim are wiped and on the floor, and the Rebbe is revived and excited and full of adrenaline. So that's, again, about Talmud Torah and Mesorah, but that depiction is similar to what Rav Soloveitchik discusses here about the overlap that we need to have between our youth and our age. The ability to experience childhood, youth, and old age concurrently is a sign of the covenantal community. I might add, youth represents hope. Right? Sometimes as we get older, we're jaded and we're stuck and, you know, we've been around the block and our hope scale and our optimism scale, right? Somebody told me yesterday, that's a little joke, but somebody told me yesterday, optimi, right? In Hebrew is for the word optimistic. Optimi, up to me. Right? Up to me. It's up to me how I look at things. Right? And that's, you know, sometimes gets harder as we get older. And a child is much more optimistic. But we have to recognize that we have to have all of these. We have to take the good parts of being a youth and the good parts of being old and the good parts of being middle-aged. All of those, put it together. And then he connects it to Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chasadim. Interestingly, Avodah being Tefillah. Torah, he connects to the older age, because when we're semi-retired and we're not working anymore, we have more time to just sit and learn, so he connects Torah to that. Avodah Tefillah is the younger, when we have a lot of needs. Okay, but he continues. That's the message of the first Rashi. Okay, we continue. So the next Rashi tells us, right, Sarah lived, and the next pasuk, Vatama Sarah Bekiryas Arba, Hi Chevron Beretz Kenan. Sarah dies in Kiryas Arba, Hi Chevron. Years ago, we discussed the Kleyakar on this pasuk, the symbolism of all these names, Mamre, Chevron, Kiryas Arba, all different names of the same place. Won't return to that now, but Sarah dies, and Avram comes, L'spod L'sarah V'liv Kosa, to eulogize Sarah and to cry for her. And of course, Rashi quotes the famous comment, Nisbacha misa sarah l'akedah Yitzchak, l'fisha yidei b'sorah. So akedah, what's the connection between the Sarah's death and akedah Yitzchak? Because she heard about what happened and that Yitzchak was almost killed. Shenizdami v'ra l'shchita, we'd call that some type of a heart attack. Kimat shelo nishchat, parcha nishmasa mimena v'mesa. And one question on this pasuk, which is the less famous question, I think. If you look closely, every time Rashi comments on certain words of the pasuk. We assume that also comes from Rashi. So if there's a deeper hamaschil on the pasuk that Rashi is commenting on those words. And if you look here, Rashi's commenting, when Rashi says, why is the death of Sarah next to Akeda? He says that on the second half of the Pasuk. Lispod l'Sarah v'levkosa. Shouldn't that be on the first half of the Pasuk? Vatama Sarah. She died? Why is this connected to the Akeda? So why is the comment of Rashi on the end of the Pasuk? Lispod l'Sarah v'levkosa. Question one. And then you have the more well-known question, and that is, what did Avram do? Lispod l'Sarah v'levkosa, he came to eulogize and cry. And many commentaries, many mefarshim ask, shouldn't it be the opposite order? First you cry, his first reaction should be crying, and then maspid, then the evaluation of her contribution to humanity. Right? So then why is it in the opposite order? These are the questions of the Eish Tamid of Reb Druk. So he says, Mibir ha'inyan on the next page, on page number 4. Bibir ha'inyan nir levar. Let me try to explain why it's at the end. Luspod l'sara. Im nisbonim b'nisayinu akeda navchin. If we examine the akeda, and I think we might have mentioned a little bit about this last week. Ki amnam b'histaklus pshuta. If we look at with a simple glance, nirasha nisayin istayim b'kach. But no, we would think, if you read Parshas Vayera and end there, the Nisayon is over. It's over. Avram was ready to kill his son. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu Manu B'Kach Hashem prevented him from killing his son. And that's it. Avahu Mitzidoya Moser HaTadavar Yakarlo. He was ready to give his most precious item. Mikol B'Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'Nimsa Sha'amad B'Nisayon B'Shleimus. He passed the test. And according to many, right, that was the 10th test. But says Rav Druk, the test was not over. The test was not over when the Malach said, Atishlach Yotche Lanar, the test was not over. The test isn't over until Chayasar. Aval ha'emes shebekach lo nistayim hanisayon. Because, as Rabbi Jonathan Sachs put it, there was a carbon of the Akeda. It wasn't Yitzchak. It was Sarah. Right? She was the, you might call it collateral damage. Right? You might call it a sacrifice. Ki kasher shav Avram lebeiso, v'nis baraloki be'ikvos ma'isa zeshel akeda. Because of this, she yigia lo azna shel sara ishto, parcha nishmasim yadav ha'meiso. She died. Ilu ayatoher ala rishonos. If Avram, for one fleeting moment, might have thought, one krechts, one little sigh of wonderment, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I wouldn't have done that. Sarah would still be alive. He would have lost the zchus of the Akeda in with one krechts, with one groan, with one sigh. So the Nisayon continued until Avram's reaction to what happened to his wife. Nimsa lefizeh, shemisa Sarah. This is a perfect continuation to the test of the Akeda. Ki b'kach she'nishar Avram eitan b'daito. Avram Avinu was strong. V'lo izganev libo shum regesh charat al amidaso. He didn't have one. He felt terrible and sad that his wife died. But no regret. No regret. Because regret would mean he did not perfect his soul and recognize that everything Hashem does is latova. No regret. Sadness, pain, hardship, yes. Regret, no. So the Akedah is hushlam, is completed only now. Mitam zeh. Maybe that's why Rashi delayed his comment till the end of the pasuk. Hevi Rashi is a medrash lama nisbach ha-parsha sa'ad nasar in Akedah, dafka l'milim lispo l'serv l'fkosa, ki kanu gmar nisayinu Akedah, shlota avram ala rishonos. When you see what's his reaction? Just go do what you have to do. Cry and give a hesped. Now you see Avram has finished. Now this is the completion of the Akedah. Now Rashi says, why is Misa Sarah, next to? Maybe he's saying, because it's part of the Akedah. It's part of the Nisayon. And that also helps explain, maybe, the other question about the order switch. Right? Why is Lispod l'Sarah v'livkosa? Why is the hesped first before Bechi? Right, Bechi should come first. Darko shel olam. Ki b'makom she'inu makir is a niftar. If somebody doesn't know the niftar. Right? If somebody comes to a levaya and they never know the niftar. So first they hear the hesped and that makes them cry. It's in that order. Right? But if you know, when you walk in, you start crying. And then you hear the Hasvedim. Right? So it's the opposite. So Avram here knew. Avram knew Sarah very well. So why is Hesped first? Avokashe makir mesaniftar, habechi misparitz me'elav, line 6. The bechi just comes out. Bishoshe mekalam esashmua hara p'tiraso. Right when you hear, v'rak la'achar mikein softim lo. And after that, there's Hesped. V'lo ha'hesped hu zeshem oriz habechi. You don't need the Hesped to be ma'orer the bechi, to awaken the bechi. Imkein roi ha'yalom arkan v'misa sara, v'yavad Avram livkos l'sara v'lispoda. Flipped. The bechi should be first. Ah, if the bechi was first, maybe we might think that there was some, maybe there was some regret in that cry. Why are you crying so hard? Right, not just because you lost Sarah, but because you're upset at yourself. Case Navin Hetev Shakasiv Baller Mos Bazelig Dulasa Umalasa on his Gajal Amavinu. Vamidaso a son his strong position. Binisoyin Akeda at Sof Mamish. Eloi Avram Bochal Misa Sarah Kodem Aspid, if he would have cried first, Hayamakum Lafarish Bechiyasa, one could have interpreted his cry, Shemischaret al Maisa Ha'akeda. Shehiva es hagorin l'misa sara, right? We would have thought maybe that's what the cry is partially for. Vayichol machshov, and you might think tala rishonos. No, the first thing he does is hesped. So you see, he accepts that the Kadosh Baruch Hu did, and he's giving it later on. There'll be time for crying, but not now. So that this approach answers both of the questions. Both of the questions. This was part of the nisayon and his bushmore. The other answer that he gives to the second question, turning over, is that there is another medrash. It says, Vayavo Avraham. Right, this is not in the text. It just says, Avram came. So where did he come from? Pashas, he came from, I don't know, Har Moriah. Vayavo Avraham, the Torah of Kosam, Mehechan Ba, Rebbe Levi Amar, Mikvuraso Shel Terach, Lusaraba. His father had died then. Remember Rashi, then the parasha says Noach, really Terach lives much longer, even though it says Vayamas, it's much later. So if you do the math, the Medrash says, Terach just died. Al-Pizei Yeshlomar, so maybe that's why Avram flips. He didn't want anybody to think he was crying so hard for his father and not for his wife. He wanted to make sure people knew that this cry is, okay, obviously, his father's father. Maybe he cried at that Levaya. But here, Tchila Hispid Avram, Itzar Barak La'achar Mikan Bacha Aleha. Vatam she'asa kein mishum. Why? She'ilu haya osa lehefech, if it was the opposite. She'aboche kodem hesped al sarah, if he cried first, haya nir'eh. She'abechi amisa saviv tarach. He's still continuing, you know, he's still in pain from his father. No, first it's hesped, and then bechi. So the hesped is machalik, right? Now I'm done with my father for now, and I will start with sarah, and that's why it is switched. L'spodlis sarah, v'lefkosa. Also the emphasis. Lispoda, sorry, just say Lispoda, Vlifkosa. Right, we know Sarah died. Just say Lispoda, Vlifkosa. Lispoda, Sarah, to emphasize. Yeah, now it's about Sarah. Now it's about Sarah, not about Terach. Okay. So, it's time to get a burial plot for Sarah and for Avraham. So what happens, he comes, and as we know, this was also, according to summary shown, and this was also one of the tests. Maybe this was the 10th test. Every single thing that Hashem promised him seems to be happening opposite. You're going to go to a land where you're going to have, oh, it's going to be unbelievable. Eretz of Aslo B'dvash, not that Lashon. Amazing. He comes as a famine. Right? I'm going to give you so many children. Right? Right? I kill your child. Right? I'm going to give you this land. I'm going to give it to you. I can't even get a farshtunken, a little piece of dirt in a cave without paying 2 million shekel. Right? Unbelievable. Right? Part of the test. So Avram says, "Vayakam Avraham yapnei meso," and Avraham gets up. I just one parenthetical. Also, I just heard also. I heard a thought from Rabbi Jonathan Sachs this week on a recording. Vayakam Avraham. Right. Many midrashim contrast Noach and Avraham, and part of that contrast might be is, what does one do when one faces tragedy? Rachman al-Islam, we're all in pain. But what did Noach do? Noach gets off the teva and the whole world is destroyed. What does he do? He says, let me just lose myself. Let me just lose myself. I'm going to get wasted, and that's it. I won't have to think about this anymore. What does Avram do? Vayakam Avraham. He gets up. There was pain, there was difficulty, but he gets up. Vayakam Avraham me'apanei meso, v'yidabar o'bnei ches le'mar. And he starts talking to the b'nei ches. Ger v'toshav anochi imachem, t'nu li'echud es kever imachem, v'ekbar me'si milfanai. Ger v'toshav. What does that mean? Those are opposites. Ger v'toshav. So Rashi quotes, Ger v'toshav, it's up to you. Avram is saying, Ger me'eretz acheres v'nesiyashavti imachem, one pshat, I was a stranger, but now I lived here. Medrash Agada, imtir tzu harini ger. If you want, I'll pay you something for it, and I'll treat myself like I'm an immigrant. V'imlav e'yetoshav et lenam enadin. But if not, I'm just going to take it, because God said it's mine. So if you want me to pay for it, I'll pay for it. But either way, I'm getting it. So I'll be a ger, or I'll be a toshav. V'chasam sofer. In source number 7, has another pshat of ger v'toshav. We had a similar idea from Rav Soloveitchik a number of years ago, but this year we'll see the Chasam Sofer. Ger v'toshav anochi imachem. Nira dezeha yebachlala hespid sheba lispod l'sarva levkosa. This is a continuation of the hespid, of what he said about Sarah. Omar ger v'toshav anochi imachem. Ki ha'adam ger ba'olam. Says the Chasam Sofer, really, we are ger and toshav in this world. Ger, stranger, toshav, native. Ger ba'olam haynu chiyusahu keger misgora l'sha. Right? Because in this world, our neshama, we're gerim. Right? This is not our eternal place for our souls. Right? Our soul is a ger. Ula'achar zman yelech v'yashuv al-mokamo. And eventually, after 120, our souls go back to its natural habitat. V'kol zeh chiyuso. That's his life. That's his neshama. Our neshama is a ger in this world. Our guf is a toshav in this world. Right? Our guf, our body, comes from dirt. Adam Arishon. Aval gufo gush afaro toshavu. Ki afaratav el afar tashuv. So we, the human being, is a combination. Our neshama is ger, and our guf is toshav in this world. Nimsa ha'adam ger v'gam toshav ba'olam. Fine, ger v'toshav. But Avram Avinu thought, maybe I could be an exception. Maybe even my guf could be toshav here. Because, says the Chacham Sofer, there were a small number of people who went straight up, whose guf did not stay in this world. And even their guf was toshav. Ach Avram Kfar Yada, right? There was already one person in history that it happened to. They're probably all right famous, right? Adam to Avram was only 20 generations. So maybe there was a famous Chanoch. Famous Chanoch who didn't die, you went up straight to Hashem. Kilakacho to Elokim. Right, the father or the son of Mr. Shalach? I forgot which one. I think it was the son. Shechanoch lakacho to Elokim chayim. Chanoch was taken up. V'nase malach. V'kacha choshav. Efshar shazacha gamu. And so Avram thought to himself, up until this moment, Maybe I'll be Zoche to be like Chanoch. Brackets. It just hit me. The same Chasam Sofer that we've quoted in the past that says Avraham, Dafka, wasn't on the level of Chanoch because Avraham spent his time bringing other people up and not sitting in a private because that's what Hashem wanted. So it's the same Chasam Sofer talking about Avraham and Chanoch. But Avraham thought he was going to be like Chanoch. Ukemoshe Zoche Elio Hanavi. Right? There's only two people in the text of Tanakh that didn't die. The Medrash talks about other people, but there's only two. One in Torah and one in Navi. Chanoch and Elio. That's it. Reb Shua ben Levi. Reb Shua ben Levi, that's a Gemara. Ksuba Sayin Zayin. Remember, he stole the knife of the Malach HaMaves, and he jumped into Gan Eden. Hashem made him give back the knife, but he jumped in. One of the greatest stories in all of Shas. Al Kain. But Avram thought to himself, so maybe I could be a full ger in this world. Lo hechlich ye toshav ba'olam. I'm not a toshav. But guess what? He saw what happened to Sarah, his wife. Sarah died. And he's burying her. Her body is still here. He realizes that Sarah is ger v'toshav. Says Avram, I'm no better than her. Ger v'toshav anochi imachem. No, I need a burial plot for the two of us. right? Because he realized this is part of the hesped that he's saying here, her gavus. He's saying that I am tough el to her in prophecy. Ach beroso sara mesa. For who I a tough el abenevius. Avram knew, right? From the fact that Hashem told last week, listen to your wife. Amar bespeda shela. Im baraz and nafla shel heves, right? Even if the great ones, imkein gamanachno lo tov mimena, we are no greater for gervitoshav anochim achem. I am gervitoshav, says the Chasam Sof, says Avram Avinu. Al kein tenuli achuzas kever. Therefore, give me achuzas kever. What does that mean? A family plot. A family plot. Because I realize my frailty and, you know, humanity now. Achuzas kever mishpacha. Avram didn't buy plots before Sarah died. Right? You would think people should, you know, make sure that as they get older, you know, you take care of things. You know, you take care of things. Avram didn't. Why didn't Avram buy a plot beforehand? Says the Chasam Sofer, because he didn't think he would need it. He thought that maybe he and Sarah could go straight up. No, after Sarah dies, I need the family plot. Amazing. Okay. So we continue the story a lot on this first story this year. And we have the behavior of Ephron. Ephron's the biggest tzaddik in the world. Just take it. Be my guest. Feel free. Right? Nobody's going to hold back. And Avram says, thank you very much, but I want to pay. Ephron's like, really, you want to pay? Okay. Just 2 million shekel. Right? What happened? What happened to Ephron, right? He's the example in Chazal of Emor Ma'at, Emor Harbev Asei Ma'at, right? Say a lot and do a little, right? So how did it change so quickly? Avram Avinu said, no, I'm paying. Name your price. And then he gives an exorbitant amount. First he says for free, and then he switches. So how did he go so min akatsa el akatsa, the extremes? So the Darkei Musar, we quoted this more than 10 years ago, but I like this story, so I wanted to quote it again. He asked this question, what happened to Ephron? Right, such a shinui, source number 8, right, the Darkei Musar, Rav Naiman, Shalachar roam ran shinui kitzoni esel Ephron. B'tchilo amar Ephron la'avram, hazor esadicha, l'chana satia, just take it. Roam shayah adin nefesh, v'nediv leiv, he was very, you know, ready to give things. Veina wrote to Shemamon. But then he says, Arba Meir Shekel Kesef, come on, a couple million. What's that between friends? Right? So what changed? So he quotes the Saba from Kelmi, quotes the story about the Rambam. Is it a true story? Who knows? But they say it about the Rambam. I don't know too many stories that are said about the Rambam, but this is the story. Right? The story that the Rambam was having an argument with one of the Chachmei Hamada, one of the philosophers or scientists of his times, Haim Amru, and they said, there's not so much of a difference between people and animals. And people are just trained. And we could train animals also. The Mada person said, right? We could train cats to act like people. We could change the nature of a cat. And the Rambam says, a cat is a cat. The Rambam says, and the Chachamim say, okay, let's wager. Come over for dinner tonight, they said to the Rambam. Again, I don't know how the Rambam had time for dinner. I don't know. Whatever. It's the story they say about the Rambam. Whether it actually happened to the Rambam, doesn't matter. But so they said, as Mamusuyam, so they gave a certain amount of time that they were going to train their cats. Kivan Shabbat Yom HaMiyuad, day 13, line 13. When the day came, Bakal Gadol Liros is a Pele. Everybody came. They trained the cats to be waiters. They're on their hind legs, and they're wearing aprons, and they're setting the table, and they're putting out the glasses, and they're carrying with one of their paws. They're carrying everything. Whenever anybody walked into the house, the cat came and bowed and curtsied. And they said, may I take your coat? And they put everybody down, sat everybody down, pushed in their chair. They started bringing in trays with wine. Unbelievable. All of a sudden, the Rambam, the way I heard the story was, the Rambam, without anybody seeing, takes something out of his pocket and just puts it on the floor. And about 10 seconds later, there's bedlam. There's no more waiters. There are cats. They're on the floor. The wine is flying everywhere, and the tables, and everything's going crazy. What happened? The Rambam put a mouse on the floor. And the Rambam said, you can't make a cat not a cat. You can't make a cat into a waiter. Right? And that's what happens. Az hodu kulam laharambam ki yefshal lamedes hachatul shi yishan es tivu. You can't change the nature. Because right when the Yetzahara, you know, they see it in front of them, that's it. Their true nature is going to come out. As long as Ephron didn't see any money in front of him, he was a nice guy. A little bit, then he was trying to cover up. Right? Avram Avinu, he was a big famous person. Please, whatever you'd like. Once Avram Avinu started offering him some of the dollar bills, then Ephron couldn't stop. Couldn't stop himself. Ephron, as long as he didn't see the kesef in front of his eyes, he was like the cat. Avram Avinu waved it. Avram held the money up. Kivach Ephron Ras HaKesef, it is Hapek Lish Acher, he became a different person. V'oz Shokach has Kol Adinus V'Nedivus Shalo, V'od V'Acher HaKesef, right? Even Ephron is from the word Afar, like the dirt, like any value to him was taken away. Okay. Moving right along to a Drush, right? We like to have all different kinds of thoughts in our shir. So we move to the Rabbi Twersky from the Sari Alafim. So he has a heavy drush here. But again, there are a number of questions that have to be answered. The Avram Zakein Ba Bayamim. Avram comes in his days, with his days. Ba Bayamim. Right? What does that mean? Question one. What does it mean that Avram came, as he got older, with his days? Vashem Beirach Az Avram Bakol. Hashem blessed Avram with everything. With everything. Next question. Really, everything? He had to pay millions to get a little piece of land. His wife just died. He has an older single as a son. Like, what's good in his life? V'Avram Beirach Az Avram Bakol. And the Medrash, the Gemara, even has a very unusual drasha, Bo'abashu Tezayin, line 5, right? What does it mean, Bakol? Avram Avinu, one pshat is he had a daughter, and her name was Bakol. Unusual name for a daughter. Avram had a daughter named Bakol. So that was the bracha that he had. Right, so what's going on here? What's going on here? And there is another, he quotes, there is a chazal in the beginning of Maseches, the beginning and end of Sukkah, it's also the beginning of Hagiga, line 12. There's a pasuk in Shir HaShirim. Mayav describing B'nai Yisrael going to be Ola Regel. But it describes, Mayafu pa'amayach b'na'alayim bas nediv. How beautiful are your steps, those who wear the shoes of the daughter of the nediv. And Chazal say the Nediv is Avram Avinu. And Klai Yisrael are called the daughter of Avram Avinu, Bas Nediv. Why was he called the Nediv? And what do you mean, B'na'alayim? So what's going on here? One more question. Again, to answer that question, as we'll see, there's going to be, going to use his poetic Dershonic license. And then finally, another question. And there he gets line 26. We know Avram Avinu v'asanefesh asher asu b'charan. Avram Avinu was begayer the gerim. Sarah was begayeres the women. The question that's asked, and the Rambam answers this a little bit in Hilchos Avodah Zarah. Why was Avram Avinu the one that was most successful in spreading monotheism? So again, it's not such a fair question because that was Avram's job. Yaakov Avinu, once he had the mitas shleima, Yaakov Avinu was about consolidation. And separation, the Meshechachma talks about that in Vayishlach. But you can still ask the question, what was Avram's secret, you might add? Ask it like that. What was Avram's secret that made him so successful? So, Rabbi Twersky quotes here, V'nira sha'tam hu shebechdei lashpi al anashim arachokim en akadusha v'ovdi v'rezor v'chadome. In order to influence people, you have to be somebody who people could relate to. Who people could look at you and say, you've been there. You know what it's like. And therefore, you're a good model and I'll listen to you. If somebody thinks that their teacher or rabbi is a malach, then whatever they say is just not going to be as relevant. Because I'm not a malach. I'm not a malach. I'm a human. Avram Avinu, he used to be an Ovid of Avodah Zarah. He came from Terach. Yitzchak came from an Avram and a Sarah. Yaakov came from a Yitzchak and a Rivka. No, what, you want us to be like you? Look at the house you grew up in. Avram Avinu, he had Yeridos and Aliyos. Tzorach she'argishu anashim ahem she'ish la ha'mashpia is a shaychus imayim. The mashpia has some shaychus with them. V'kivet she'yachol ha'mashpia l'syachis aleyem. B'matzavam ha'shafel. If they can relate to him, then they can bring him up. If I think that you were sometimes not perfect and you were down like me, then I'll trust you and you could bring me up. Ulefize muvan, bottom right. Sha'av mavinu shen is gadel. Bebeiso shel terach, she'yo ovid avodah zarah. That's where he came from. Tafka hu aya yachol is yachis la'anoshim hanim soim adayim shavala madrega. He can relate. He can relate. Yitzchak and Yaakov cannot, we can, harder for them to relate. Especially Yitzchak. Yitzchak was the most intense of the avos. Right? Maybe from the Akedah. He was an Ola Tamima. But what's also the message of Avram Avinu? He probably shared it with them. He probably went over and said, you're not so far. You know what? I used to be exactly where you are. That's what I did. I grew up with all these Baals and Psalim. That was me. Don't worry. You could do it. He didn't hide his past. He brought all of his past with him in order to help inspire. That was the Avoda and the godless of Avram Avinu. Ein lecha adam she'en lo yiridos b'avodas Hashem shelo. There's nobody that doesn't have yiridos. Ve'en tzadik b'aretz asher yaseh v'lo yechta. Everybody has those days. Kol adam yesh lo hayo lo matzavim b'meshachim yechayav. Sometimes the Yitzhara gets the best of me. Hare yesh lo hayecholas. I have one of two choices. I could close off that part of my life and say, it wasn't me, it never happened. Linol hadelas al ha'avar shalo ki'ilu me'olam lo'yad ho'haya. That wasn't Avram Avinu's derech. He kept it with him. Af al pishe bevadei tzarech adam lasumis yiridos of mechsholo ba'avar. Yes, you have to put him in the past. You can't wallow in your failures or in your yiridos, but you have to use them to inspire. Mikomakom ein lo linol hadelas aleihem ki'ilu lo'hayu. Don't think that it didn't happen. Ela adrav yishtabishim ha'matzav ha'yirudim. Right? Use them to inspire people. That's what Avram Avinu did. And that's what he did. And that's why Avram Avinu, next, he says, that's why he's called the Nadiv. He's called the one who is no Dev, who volunteered his life to inspire others. His life of all of his life. Skipping ahead now, I'm just saying it outside. Avram came to people with all of his days. Baba Yamin. Because all of his days were used as a learning point and a teaching point for those around him, because that's what made him successful. That he didn't close off his past. He didn't close off it. He brought it with him and inspired through that. Turning the page, and this is where he gets very alderic Jewish, but it's fascinating. Mayafu pa'amayach, right on the next page 7, on the right side. Right, what's the pasuk that the Gemara darshin? How beautiful are you pa'amayach? So pa'amayach means your steps, but also pa'amayach can mean, like we say, Pamachas, your times. How beautiful are your palms? Pamayach are those palms, all the history. B'na'alayim, that most people like to be Noel and close off. No. You're Bas Nadiv. You bring it. You volunteer it. You volunteer it to all of those around you. Right? That's how beautiful Shlomo HaMelech says. Mayafu ha'yiridos v'hamichsholim. Hamunachim b'pam u'ba'avar shalcha. How beautiful are those that are pam in the past? B'na'alayim b'zmanim shena'alta adelas ba'adam. That you take it with you. He says that's Avram Zakein Baba Yamin. Avram came with all of his days. And that's Avram Berach as Avram Bakol. What Bakol? His daughter. That means his essence, his life. Bakol. With every matzav, he looked at it as a bracha. He looked at it as a bracha in order to go and inspire people. And that's what he says here at the end. We have to take all of our life. Not the part, we're not supposed to go around and just like, you know, spill our dirty laundry to everybody and just tell everybody all the mistakes that we made. But if there is something in our past that we grew from, that we can teach others with, You know, we have to try to do that. Whenever we hear great people talking, we love to hear about, you know, when they weren't so great, and when they before they became who they were, because then it's in, then it's instructional, and then it's you know, it helps us because we realize they're human. We realize they're people that we can relate to. So that's that was Avraham Avinu. That was Avraham Avinu. Okay, moving right along. Two more thoughts. One is a thought. I thought we've said this in the past, but Rav Hirsch says something similar. Maybe we said it from Rav Hirsch, but it's the Klei Yakar. Klei Yakar a couple hundred years before Rav Hirsch, 1500s, Prague. The Klei Yakar says, right? The Torah devotes more than 65 psukim, 67 psukim or so, to the story of Eliezer and Rivka. So we have to give one thought, two thoughts. So Avraham Avinu tells his faithful servant, "Do not get a wife from the people that live around here." Right? You have to go far away and swear to me that you're not bringing a wife from here. Ki el artziva molati telech v'lakachti isha l'bni liyishak. Go back to the place where, you know, my homeland, v'lakachti isha l'bni liyishak. And the question the Klei Yakar asks, which others ask as well, and that is, halalu rishayim v'halalu rishayim. Right, Avraham Avinu lived around people in Canaan. They weren't such great tzaddikim. And he told his servant Eliezer to go back to get a wife from people from Lavan and Mesuel who also weren't great tzaddikim. So why do you have to make him schlep? Right, the Klei Yakar's question. They were both not tzaddikim. Klei Yakar has 2 points. Number one, we're in source 11, line 6. Pshita im Yisa b'nei Isha mibnos Kanani me'achash ani yoshev anochi yoshev b'kirbo mistama gam bana yagur etzlam v'ozi yishlocha shema yubmo mimasehem. If Yitzchak just gets a wife from here and she's comfortable and she knows the community and she doesn't feel at all as a stranger, so it's going to be more difficult for her to turn away from everything that she's used to. At least, if you take from there and they come here, sometimes when people are out of their normal habitat, then growth is possible. Right? Like those who still live in Chutz La'aretz and send their children for the year or two to the land of Israel. Right? Why does such growth happen? Not only because of the magic of the land of Israel, for sure, but also because one is away from there. Their natural, all of everything that they're used to, and there are distractions. So at least she could come this way. But then number two, he said, no, because there's a difference between what the problem was in each. Around here, says Avraham Avinu, around here, you know, there's a more of a problem than over there. Over there, Lavan and Mesuel, and he quotes this from Raya's, says they have Deos Ros. They're Ovdei Avodah Zarah. They don't believe. It's an intellectual problem. That could be solved. But here, the people around where we live, that's a Midos problem. And Midos go be Yerusha. And Midos are, it's much harder to fix a bad trait than a messed up philosophy. That's the Klei Yakar.
And
again, Rav Hirsch expands on this as well. Midos Tovos is what he was focusing on. And that's why, what's the first thing that Eliezer does when he gets there? The first thing he does, the test is chesed. The test is she going to give me water? Because that's what's crucial, and that's what Avraham Avinu was so focused on. The difference between the two groups. And finally, the last thought. There is a set of svarim put out by Yeshivat HaRetzion, Be'er Miriam. They have it on every holiday. So there, I have this written down to use this Chayasara. So the Be'er Miriam on Shavuos quotes parallels in Lashon. I didn't give you the whole article. Between the story of Ruth and Boaz and the story of Eliezer and Rivka and Besuel and Lavan. Kayemes hakbala mashmotit. There is a serious parallel between Perek Beis Shel Megillah, Megillas Rus, lebein Sipur Shel Eved Avraham Shenishlach Lemso Isha LeYitzchak. Right? If you look here, you have first. This is the words from Rus. V'tamar lachamosa, eifo dikata yom, v'ana ashis, where would you gather today? V'tagal hamosa says, asher asti imo. And she tells over to her mother-in-law, you know, everything that happened. And there was a man. Right now, Vaidomer ban miyat hagidina ayish beis avich makom lono lalun vatomer bas besuel, and she runs and she said, this parallel shonos asher lo, right, what does Eliezer say? Baruch Hashem Elokei Adoni Avraham asher lo azav chasto vaamito. What does Rus Naomi say? Baruch Hashem asher lo azav chasto. Same lashon as a chayim as right. Mishi bachnu bakbala zul lo nitzkashal afchin bakbala nosefes. Right, what is Boaz say? Ad im kilu es asher hakatsir. Ad im kilu lishtos. Same lishonos if you parallel it. Right, and it could the nosefes, right, on the next page. Hamakasher es ashnei asipurim. Hanogaz lofan shabo nifkishul rishona gibori asipur. Eved Avraham v'Rivka b'sefer Breishis. Boaz verse b'pirkenu. What does the Megillah say? Vayiker mikreha. It happened. Chelkas hasada leboaz. Asher mishpachas elimelech. Right? It happened. And what does Eliezer say? Right? Hakre no lefanai hayom. Same lashon, same shorish. Mikre. Right? What's the message? The message that the two stories, hakre, but really it's not mikre. It's really deep hashgacha. Deep hashgacha. Right? It's exactly the opposite of what the word used in the text. Rus holechas bikvos Rivka. Sheachria la'azov es beis ha'mishpachta. Right? Rus followed. Rivka left her home. Rus left her home. To go with strangers. Lolechas im'am el'am asher lo yada t'mol shilshom u'lisarif l'mishpachas Avraham. Rivka went to go to Avram's house. Rus went back. Hashvazu mavlites ha'dimyon bein Rus l'Rivka shtei nishos chesed. Asher et kashru la'am Yisrael v'starfei lov be'ikvos ma'isim shel chesed. But they both have this metach, as he explains, bein mikre v'ashgacha. Right? You see the Yad Hashem, but you see man just doing their ishtavlus. Right? Rus had to do her ishtavlus. And Eliezer had to do his ishtavlus. But our ishtavlus, along with hashgachas Hashem, that's what life's about. Life's about recognizing we have to do what we have to do, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge, and he will do the rest. That is Chayasara. Again, the first shidduch of the Jewish people, right? Avram and Sarah, that wasn't really a shidduch. They were family members. So were Rivka and Yitzchak, but more of a shidduch in that way. Okay, we'll stop here. Every first date should go like theirs did, right? She falls off the camel. She loves. She's like, wow. And they go into the tent. Okay, everybody should find their proper zivug in the proper time.